little late today, and look, I'm already getting anxious because I'm getting in trouble. But I want to tell you, sometimes good things come to those who wait. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to welcome you to Only Believe Ministries Christian Center right here in Kenton, Ohio. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I want you to know that when we made that call out in 2011, today is a first-time day. It's a day of victory. We're going to shout some things out. We're going to proclaim some things, and we're going to walk in what God has done. Because what's happening right now, no man could ever put his hand on it. No man could ever make sense of it. But God has established you in your faith for this time in which we live. So we're going to shout. We're going to rejoice. And this morning, we're going to enter into a time of worship and praise. And we're just going to be thankful for what God is doing.
We are the power of God. Thank you. I'm going to go to the hospital.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Regina will tell you what that's like. Hallelujah. Waiting on Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Amen. The Word of God is what brought us to this place, and we're going to preach the Word of God, but then we're certainly going to take time to go over in great detail where we're at on the building, what's happened so far, and kind of like a turnaround and where we're headed. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Always marked the eighth day as a day of circumcision. And so I want to know that eighth day marks a brand new day of beginnings. It means that we're stronger than we've ever been, and we can get ready to live life in a capacity that we've never lived with before. So we better get ready. Amen. Look at the beautiful couple back there. Yes, this Saturday, four things, they're getting through right here. And God is going to put his blessing in their life. So what I really need from you guys is a church family. Many of you may want to take, so we've got to sign up to you right there, just so we can get around your money. We'll be here with your dad. So the revenue, especially the reception, if you know that we're a house that has got to eat, it's been really fixed up. So we're going to eat the center strip. We'll do the ceremony at right up to 30. If I'm not too long-winded, about 5, we should be finishing. We're going to take about 20-minute break there to get set up and to get food up to the end of our stuff. And then we'll come back about 5:30 or so to show you people to be So let's give them a hand clap. God bless you. Thank you, guys. All right? Are you excited? Are you excited? Christian? Are you excited? I need to hear your voice. Are you excited? Oh. Well, hallelujah. Also, they have a service coming up here on a Sunday night where Pastor Bishop is going to come and give us wisdom about how to be prepared for opening a larger church. And that they get a chance to be able to reach their way because each one of you has got to realize how important you are. And if you make room for others, you have got to know that you are part of the reason why God believes we can make room for more people because of you. So we'll get into that stuff a little bit later. Yes. They brought me some of those snacks because I wanted to know what some of them. But they get together and have snacks. again. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look here at the Bible because I want you to know that from the beginning of time, God wanted his people to gather together. So they always made the tabernacle for a sanctuary, and people were stirred in their spirit to give. And I also want you to know that when you read the scripture, I want to remind each and every one of us that I do not want you to be here asking just because we come together in the Bible. I do not want you to be here relationship with God, you will see evidence of how there is goodness upon your life. Amen? Now, I want you to see what it says here in Exodus chapter 35, that even before the law was ever added, we had these things that Abraham and everybody did. But it says right here in the book of Exodus, Moses is talking in the congregation. They heard him come back, and it says this in Exodus 35, verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came to everyone whose heart stirred them up, and everyone whom the Spirit was given. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing of it. And they brought, and then it goes on and tells you the many things they did. And here's what I want you to understand: that the Lord needs you to be in a close relationship in your spirit with Him. God needs you to understand that He's the one who said that as we show our tithes and offerings, He's the one that will be faithful. He's the one that says, "Prove me that I'm doing this thing for you, and see if I will not curse of all." Open up the window of heaven to bless and increase your life and your life. And then God will give you such that also He will reap the devourer for your sakes and on your behalf. I want us to know that God answers your tithes and offerings. And understand this, this is just one promise in the Bible, that through your tithes and offerings, God has a divine right to have His supernatural ability. God will make what you have more far greater than those that you buy yourself. God will cause men and women to have favor on you. He will release debt from you. He will give you promotion. And what I love the most is God says that He will protect the fruit of your ground, both the work that you do, but more importantly, your health, your body. God says that you will be a part of women and childbearing and all kinds of things. God will protect the fruit of your body. He will give you the divine health. He will bless you. He will work on your behalf. And God moves in every arena of your life. Now listen. It's just like important for us to give mercy so we can receive mercy. To give forgiveness so we can be forgiven. To give life so we can be one. And this is an honorable and true opportunity to give out of your tithes and offerings. God can supernaturally, personally touch your life. Amen? That's why I don't want you to give it just because you don't think I want you to show yourself. But I want you to be in your spirit and willing to you and help God into your life for the good of Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, today, God, today, as we get this opportunity, God, I pray that you would be with us like the congregation that was with Moses. They were stirred from what they knew of their relationship with God. They were stirred from their understanding. They read the scriptures. They heard the word preached and they received it. And that their spirit is stirred up by God. Lord, as your people give you your supernatural and even the power, you will cause them to increase God, be more than Christian, and remain together, God. Your blessing will be upon them. Be with every one of us, God. Jesus' name, amen, and amen. Bring the tithes and offerings to the house, praise God, and the Lord is the reason for the blessing on each and every one of you. that update about the building, that we are preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the reason we want to preach this gospel of Jesus Christ is because it's the very word of preaching of the gospel that has built this church and has brought us to this moment. Amen. And so what I want to talk to you about today, in all honesty, is how God heals, redeems, and recovers against all odds. I'm going to talk to you today about crossing over to the other side of things. And I'm going to talk to you today about us being better because we're together. Amen? I want you to know something, that I'm getting ready for this month and the next month of June to be talking a lot about the origin of humanity and God's role for both the man and the woman. Amen? Now, we know, guys, I hope to get our ego a little bit, but we know that Adam was here and he thought he was doing good and he had it all figured out. And God was with him and he said, Adam, what I created is good. But when he took a little deeper look at us, he said that he saw what he created was good, but he didn't call it very good or excellent yet until he reached in himself and created the woman. Oh, my goodness. Praise the name of the Lord. So we have got to look at all aspects of humanity and what there is in men to be fathers and husbands, to be brothers, to be providers, to be the men that they're supposed to be. And we've got to look into women that are called to be mothers and wives and called to be friends and sisters and daughters and all of those things. And we've got to look and see the aspect of humanity and how we are all called to do our part to help God have on this earth what he desires to have. And I want you to know something, that God is calling on each and every one of us to find our position in the will of God. I want you to know that we can go to the scriptures and it says that it is the will of God for all mankind to be saved. I want you to know that the darkness, the abuse, and the hurts that we endure as people upon this earth are coming from people who have not properly positioned themselves with God and in a balanced way let God's love lead them through this earth journey until we get to heaven. And I want each and every one of us to know that we're going to be looking at these things because God is with us to be who we are. Now, before I get into the scripture I'm going to preach to you today, I want you to know that I love medicine and technology and science, so don't get offended by what I'm saying. I believe in all of these things. But I want you to know that they are saying that medicine, when you go to the store, there's about five basic medicines in all of the prescriptions that we see. And I want you to know that in today's world, and I'm not talking about prescription drugs like the doctors have to give you. I'm just talking about when you go into the general medicine place at Walmart and different places. There's certain drugs that we can get, medicines we can get. And I want you to know that there's a place in about five basic medical plays that we get this stuff out of. But today, we see that some stuff is called fast acting, some stuff is called long acting, some stuff is called maximum strength, and all these things. I remember when medicine was first released, they wanted you to just get a minimum of basic aspirin or the things that you're supposed to take to get yourself straightened up. But I want you to understand that now it's like we need to maximize this and maximize this. And I want you to know something, that I have nothing against medicine, but I just say we have to leave room for God. I want you to know that today, it used to be 20 or something plus years ago. And if you want to talk to your doctor, that you can do it later after this service. You don't be trying to investigate me while I'm preaching. But anyhow, listen to this. Listen to this. I said I was here with medicine to me. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't here with medicine to me. Medicine was around long before I was born. Don't let my gray hair confuse you. But I want you to know that when medicine came out, it used to be years ago that there was just some basic things about it. And it used to be that when medicine was prescribed, doctors were much more cautious about how they gave it out. They used to give you just a 3 or maximum 5 day supply, and then they wanted to review you, and you were at least on the road to recovery. They were snatching your dependence on medicine away so that you would get to the basic things of strengthening yourself. I want you to know that in today's society, the world they just want something for their job. They want something for anxiety. They don't just want something for anxiety. They want something for this or this. I'm just feeling a little tired, but I'm feeling a little bit of this. And I want you to know that as a church, we have got to get back to being the culture that says that we are going to go to God and then we're going to add all that stuff to us. I want you to know that we can look at the world, and you want to know what the number one emotional deficiency of is humanity is today? Well, just look at what we got. It used to be that years ago, 25 years ago, when they first started this experiment, they had something called personal space language, where you could find out something about this MySpace. Yeah, MySpace was a place where you get your family and friends to go, and then it advanced to Facebook, Facebook, Twitter, Facebook, Facebook, I don't know what all books are out there, but they even now have phone numbers that you can call. And I'm not talking about their listed message stuff. They have phone numbers that you can call them just to talk to them. They said that by the hundreds and millions of years, they're going to keep a channel just to talk to them. And I want to know that loneliness is one of the worst things that in the world today. I want to know that I have to say that America is a highly meditated, probably one of the most. We spend more billions on medicine than anybody in the world, and we also spend more on the internet than anybody in the world, because we are starting to step into a culture that has replaced personal intimacy with God and people with the internet. And I want to know that this is the main reason why God established the congregation in the church. This is the main reason why God gave you an extended family, because He needs us to come together as believers and support ourselves, putting a human hand on a human hand, putting a human prayer on a human being. And God needs us to get together more than ever and stand in agreement that we are going to be the people that even when the nation changes, we're still going to declare the goodness of the Word of God. Well, hallelujah. I know you guys thought I was going to be a little more quiet and excited on that day, and I thought I would be too, but I want you to know something, that even as we expand to a bigger congregation, this Word of God is not back to us. I'm not going to preach this Word with any less conviction. I'm not going to twist it. I'm not going to change it. I'm going to preach this God with this Word for God with more conviction than ever, because it is these godly guidelines that's going to cause you to be healthy, cause you to be strong, cause you to be spiritually solid, and cause your families to be blessed. Hallelujah. I want us to understand something, that we're going to preach this gospel, and we're going to cross over to another place, and we're going to be just as strong as we've ever been. But I want you to know that we need each other. I tell you, there's going to be some things that come across this family that you're not supposed to hear about this family. There's going to be some things that might come against your marriage that you can't hear about this family. Listen, men need strong men, and women need strong women, and families need families for families. Now, we can't hear about the Word of God. Most of us need a little bit of information, and all we want to do is go to the that's not the Bible. The Bible says that we will confess our faults one to another, and that love will cover a multitude of sins. Instead of talking about my brother and telling his business around the world, I'm going to support my brother in prayer and fasting and supplication until they get a victory. Amen? I tell you what, it's time for us to be the church. I don't care what's appropriate in the world today. I don't care what's the attitude of religious facilities. I want you to know something, that what we're going to believe is that when someone comes to the Lord, it doesn't matter where they started. It doesn't matter if they've been abused. It doesn't matter if they put drug addiction on themselves. It doesn't matter if they're alcoholic. It doesn't matter if they've been divorced 10 times or hated. When they come into this house, we're going to wrap them in the face of the Lord and the love of Jesus, and we're going to see their lives reestablished on the foundation that God can bring them out of darkness. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something today, that the Bible is declaring that God's people are people of victory. And I want to take you to a story where I'm going to read about Joshua, who was a young man who was following God. But I want you to know that in Joshua's time here, Moses, who was the good job. Moses led them to victory. He led them out of bondage and into crossing over the wilderness, and they had an expectation of going into the promised land. But before they got there, Moses died. I want you to know that this is not the first time someone has tried to build a church and put in heaven that's the church that we will be. I want you to know that this is not the first time that people have used their faith and believed God for a place to come in the big community. And I can't ask for every church that's out there. Don't get me wrong. I do not believe that because we grow that another church defines another. I believe that when we grow and do our part, our churches around this community will be increased and be enlarged because of what we do. Amen? And I want you to know something, that there are people who were praying for us to grow that aren't even on the earth anymore because they've already went on to be with the Lord. But I want you to know that when Moses was here and he died and went on to be with the Lord, I want you to know that for a season, Joshua's heart failed. And for a brief season, Joshua thought, hey, what are we going to do? Moses is here. But the Lord came to him and said, Joshua, I want you to rise. See, I want you to let being you what was in the generation before you. And you had already received the impartation from Moses. Literally, when we did this church, we're not trying to build a church just for the last days we got left and for the next years that we get to work with God. Listen, when we build this church, we are building a place that we can do exactly what we know. Our children, our grandchildren, and generations beyond us, if the Lord carries, will have a place to come and work with God. I want you to know something. We are not a one-generation church. We're not a glitch in the moment of time. I want you to know that God has put us in a place where we're going to transform destinies and you're going to change lives. Even after you're gone, people are going to use your testimony. People are going to use what my grandma did and what my grandpa did. They're going to use your faith to live their life. Hallelujah. And I want you to know something. We're stepping into what God has said for us to do. But here in Joshua chapter 3, it says that Joshua, after he got healed, once he saw God, and once they went in and spied out the land, and they said, boy, this land is still here, but I just want to give this to you as a sign. The land that the 4 years still had done to Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The first thing I have to tell you, church, is that this is why the Bible says, stir yourself up and build your faith. This is why the Bible says, meditate on the word of God, so that you don't faint. Listen to me, there are too many people, even in the church, that are looking around at the world and looking around at the struggles that we face, and their faith is falling, and their faith is faltering, and they're all down and depressed because we got some bad news on the news, and because we got this and that, raising this up and that. But do you hear what the Bible just said? Sanctify yourself, set yourself, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I don't know what you're thinking about, but when I think about us building the building, and I think about the people that I'm still believing for, when I think about the healing and the life of salvation that I'm still looking for, listen to me, I'm not afraid of my tomorrow, because your tomorrow says that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I tell you what, I'm not looking at your tomorrow or my tomorrow to be filled with failure. I'm looking at your tomorrow and my tomorrow to be filled with the wondrous works of God. We're not starting something just to stop it. We're not at the beginning of something to not see it through. The Lord says that I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. And I will tell you what, I want you to celebrate the miracles that God has already done. Because some of us can declare what God has already redeemed us from. I want you to celebrate what God has done in the years past, even up till now. I want you to be thankful for what God has done. But I also want you to get yourself girded up, fill your
your heart with faith. Get the Word of God in you and release your prayers, because tomorrow your God has promised to do great works amongst you. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the first thing you're going to take with Joshua, if you're going to enter into your commandments the way I need to do, you better show yourself, you better set yourself, you better get involved in my word, because tomorrow I'm going to do wonders amongst you. Don't forget that the Bible says that we share God's grace in so much more. And don't forget that the Bible says that though the enemy form weapons around you like a flood, the Lord will come in and raise up a standard and crush every tongue that enemy ever has to destroy you, and he will give you victory. Amen. And Joshua spoke unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You see why the Lord is not afraid to send you into the land filled with blood? You see why the Lord is not afraid to send you to the other side, though you said you didn't want to fight? Listen, I think even if this was in this city, they said, well, I want to know that I think I used to be right here, fighting used to be right here, but most of that's gone, but we still have the opiate problem. And listen, I want you to know that that opiate problem has become a big and mighty monster that is for me. We're not the same folks that just can handle alcohol, is it? We're not the same folks that can just handle a little bit of violence here, but we are the church that has been raised up. And when we cross over to the other side, God did not say he's going to leave us the same. It says that I will begin to magnify you, I will begin to strengthen you, I will cause your enemies might not get smaller, but you're not going to stay the same. You're going to be enlarged, you're going to be infused with my spirit, and I'm going to cause you to be stronger, that these enemies will fall at your feet as though they were weak enemies. And I want us to understand something, that if God brings you into marriage, and you have struggled by yourself, he's not going to cause your marriage to be weak. He's going to make you stronger within that relationship. If God grows your church, he's not going to cause you to be weak or fearful. He's going to make you stronger so that you can handle the responsibilities of that. If God promotes you at work, he's not going to leave you where you're at. He's going to strengthen you so that when you are promoted, you have the ability from God to handle the situation that you're in. I want you to know that God is looking for you to come into a place where you recognize the fact that he's with you. It says, thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant, even the Lord of all the earth, passes over before you and the Lord. Whether it was Samuel, when he was just a young man, whether it was Esther, who had lost her parents and had to be raised as an uncle, whether it was Saul, who one day murdered the church and killed his son Paul, I want you to know that we can look throughout the Bible and you will find that there's not one person that received salvation that ever only received salvation for the church. I want you to know the very fact that you get saved, the very fact that you cross over in a personal way. Remember, I said I'm going to speak to the individual today, I'm going to speak to the family today, and I'm going to speak to your supernatural church family that you've been put in front of. I want you to know that as an individual, when you get saved, I want you to know something, that you are never crossing over to salvation and the blessing of God, that it does not impact somebody's life for the better. Listen to me, I want want you to know that as your personal salvation, your family will be touched, your friends will be touched, and even the strangers that do not know you but come to know you, they will be touched because of your personal salvation. I want you to know that whether you understand it or not, your family will be touched because of your salvation. Listen to me, sons and daughters who ask to bring salvation to mothers and fathers. I want you to know that as great as Pastor Joseph is, he will tell you himself that his daughter got saved, his wife got saved, and he was mad about it, but then he got saved and started running his race, and now they have to follow him to keep up. I want you to know something, that you and your salvation will bring people and families. I tell you what, there are aunts today that are influencing their siblings and family members like they have no idea. There are fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and grandparents that are touching the lives of others in a way that they have no idea.
When he walked into the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh and the Egyptians were coming behind him, I'm telling you that there was probably that thing that said, what is this Moses character doing? Of all places, he's causing us to go right up against the Red Sea, and there's no way out. Our enemies are all around us, and we can't do anything. But I want you to know something, that if you will use your faith and go beyond yourself and position yourself where the hand of God must come through or everybody's going to be destroyed, you will find out that the hand of God has been with you all the time, and you will raise that staff, and you will touch that thing, and God will open up ways that nobody else can open up. I want you to know that some of you have prayed a long time, and you're praying on the same day, and you're wondering if it's impossible. Some of you have been highly stricken for so long that they came up from generation after generation, but you're wondering if it's impossible. So challenges have been so broken in relationships, and you've been praying to God enough that you're wondering if it could ever happen. I'm telling you, get your hands off of all the doubts and all the doubts. Woo! Hey, God, get your hands off of all the doubts and all the impossibilities of your life, because it is time for you to cross over to the faith realm and say that if God has been faithful to each generation, he will be faithful to mine. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Some of you are going to get ready and use your faith, because you might have some things that you can do in your future that can stop with you. Thank you. points to the nations as God's with peace to every one of us. And I want to know that when we believe this scripture, I want to believe that the Father says that the Levitical priesthood has a peace of the saints. And I want to know that today what that means is that God's a priest. Because of what you do in your life, standing in your life. And I want you to know that because you are Christ the Lord, so when you come to the Lord, your community is a living place. And I want this to come and sit in your life, make sure you sit in your life, your community is a living place, just the way you know you're going to be blessed, that you think you're going to be blessed, and people are going to find it easier to live your life, to live your life, all the way up to the Hallelujah. I want to know that the Lord says that it's good that the Lord will have your back.
things to be able to do it. And we need to think about what we're going to do. And then I'm going to have this review of things.